How would you feel if you accidentally overheard one of your friends describing you as a bit abnormal or a bit unusual? Happens all the time. Happens to me a bit too. You tend to get a bit of a sinking feeling in the stomach. There's a strong value system at work in us very often that says that normal is good. If we fear being perceived as abnormal or unusual, we clearly aspire to be perceived as normal. It might not be quite as marked as in many early teenagers whose drive to conform and be normal ends up with most of them looking like clones of each other. But the desire to be normal continues in all sorts of ways, and you often hear people express it in different forms. I'm sick of this. I just want to be normal. Why can't I get over this and just get on with it like everybody else does? I don't want to be the odd one out. I wish I could just deal with things the way everybody else does. In the gospel reading that we heard a few minutes ago, Jesus came into contact with a group of lepers. They could have actually been suffering from any number of skin diseases because they were pretty much all lumped in together as leprosy in those days. But whatever it was they had, the consequence was that they were excluded from participation in normal society. Lepers were regarded as highly contagious and as probably suffering because God was punishing them for being sinful. And so either way, they were people to be avoided. They were required to live outside of the town and not even come anywhere near a normal person without yelling out, "unclean, unclean," as a warning as they approached. Now, if you're afflicted by something that stops you from participating in normal society, whether it be something physical or something emotional or relational, whether it be something that causes others to shun you or something that robs you of the confidence or ability to step out, then probably the thing that you will want most of all in the world is for that something to be taken away. And there's nothing wrong with that. So when these lepers approached Jesus shouting, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us," it didn't take too much prophetic insight to see what form they would like that mercy to come in. They wanted their leprosy taken away so that they could re-enter the normal world. Now, what Jesus told them to do took a big step of faith by all 10 of them, because he didn't heal them on the spot. He told them to go and show themselves to the priests. If your leprosy got better, you had to go and show yourself to the priest, who would certify you clean before you could re-enter normal society. But Jesus told them to go and show themselves to the priests before they were healed. And it was only on their way there that their leprosy was healed. So every single one of them showed considerable faith, not only in approaching Jesus to seek healing in the first place, but in acting on his instructions and walking away from him still unhealed, but acting as though they were. They came seeking to be saved from a predicament that they were in. They acted in faith, and as a result, they were saved in the way that they wished. They were restored to normality and were able to get back on with normal life, just like everybody else. Thanks be to God. And for many of us, if not most of us, that's kind of what happened to us too. We became aware that we were not the people that we wanted to be, that there were forces at work that were holding us back. And we realised that we couldn't change sufficiently without the help of a power greater than ourselves. And so we approached Jesus seeking to be saved from the grip of those forces and set free to become the people that we really wanted to be. And for some of us, freedom came instantaneously. And for others, we experienced a turnaround and we have been steadily reclaiming the lost ground and growing into the people that we want to be ever since. Thanks be to God. But that's not where the story ends. Something happens after the lepers are healed. One of them, when he saw that his disease was gone, came back praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself down at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And as Jesus points out to everyone in earshot, the only one to return in gratitude was from a group that everybody regarded as a godless bunch to be kept well clear of. The kind of people who cause you to hurry your kids inside if they come walking down the road. Reference to a Samaritan probably sounded to Jesus' Jewish hearers similarly as if he'd said, and the only one to come back and give thanks to God was a sergeant at arms of the Hell's Angels. The only thing to be avoided more desperately than a leper was a Samaritan Hell's Angel leper. But the bit that really intrigues me is what Jesus says to this one bloke. He says to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. You're probably thinking, so what? That's what Jesus always says when he's healed somebody. Well, it is pretty much. But it seems from the way Jesus emphasizes the difference between this bloke and the other nine that he's now saying something particular to this one. And when we look at it again, there is indeed a distinction. He says, we're not 10 made clean, your faith has made you well. 10 were made clean, the disease was taken away, they were back to normal, only one was made well. And I put it to you that wellness is not just the absence of disease. When you say to someone, how are you well, you're not just meaning, are you free from diseases at the moment? Wellness, health, wholeness, integrity, these are positive attributes. We can and we often do say that one person is healthier than another, even though neither of them has any illnesses. And perhaps that explains the note of disappointment in Jesus' words. Where were the other nine? They were happy to get their lives back to normal, and once they did, they had no further use for Jesus. Only one saw the possibility and the desirability of something beyond normal. You can be abnormal by being below average or by being above average, unwell or super well. But 9 out of 10 were happy with just average. Strangely enough, when you think about the words, most of us would not be all that thrilled if we heard someone describing us as average either. Despite the fact that what makes normal normal is that it's the average. And most people are clustered around the average. And while normal can certainly be comfortable because you're not offending anybody, not rocking anybody's boats, when I take a good hard look around, I don't reckon that normal looks that good. I reckon that if you're aspiring to be normal, you've set your sights way too low. Listen to the quiet stirrings in your own heart, and the chances are you will find a yearning to live life at a higher level than you presently do. And the next step to greater wellness is clear. Don't just settle back into normal, but come back to Jesus in gratitude and in praise. Don't just use Jesus as a dispenser of cures for life's ills and then leave him alone. Because he is not the only one who can set you free from... It's not the only one who can set you free from what trapped you in the midst of the life that you want, but he is the only one who can lead you into real wellness, into fullness of life, into the fulfillment of your ancient destiny. And it starts with making connection, with expressing gratitude, with establishing the relationship, and then following him on the way. You see, it's in the expression of gratitude that's what really gets a relationship happening. I was thinking about this, how throughout Acacia's childhood, whenever I have organised some activity with her, often the biggest buzz for me was hearing her tell her mum about it afterwards. Because it's when she communicates the excitement and pleasure of it that I know that she really appreciated it. It's what she communicates in response that really builds the bond between us. If she just took it for granted and then went on her way, we'd probably be known the closer for it. She might have benefited from it, but like the nine lepers who settled for the immediate benefit, she might have missed the relationship dimensions that were really on offer. The wholeness and fullness of life that God really wants to offer us is a product of relationship. And relationships are built on an attitude of gratitude. It is a life of wellness, of wholeness, of beauty, of integrity that lies way beyond normal, through normal and out the other side. And if only 1 in 10 ever find it, then living it will actually make us abnormal. But after all, life that's normal is pretty average.